Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining Words of This Life. We're going to continue on in our study in the book of Acts. Today, we're going to look at the second half of chapter 6 of Acts and about 3/4 of chapter 7. In the previous video, we looked at Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, which gave us sort of an introduction to a person named Stephen. And in this video, today's video, we're going to look at Stephen in more detail. In fact, chapter 6, verse 8, and right through to the end of chapter 7, we get the story of Stephen, his sermon, and ultimately his martyrdom. In this video, I'll look at the end of chapter 6, verse 8 to the end of the chapter, and then chapter 7, not the whole chapter, but probably down to about verse 43 or so, which covers his sermon. I'll look at his martyrdom, the last section of chapter 7, in a subsequent video. So today we'll look at, start with chapter 6, verse 8. And as I say, we're in the previous video, in the first part of chapter 6, we're introduced to Stephen along with some others, men who were chosen to be deacons in the assembly in Jerusalem. They were chosen for this task, appointed to this task. But we see now with Stephen that he was also a gifted teacher, a gifted preacher, empowered by God. This was not as a result of his being chosen as a deacon. This was not a result of his election or appointment to a particular deacon task, but rather this was the gifting from the Lord, from the ascended head. We went into that in a little bit of detail in the last video. Here we see in verse 8 of chapter 6 that Stephen was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. So he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was raised up by the Lord. It's not his deacon service here, but it's his ministry as a teacher and preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in verse 9. Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen or the libertines. And it mentions several areas where the people who constituted this synagogue in Jerusalem came from, areas scattered throughout the Roman Empire, especially around the Mediterranean basin from Asia Minor and North Africa, were people who originated in that area, probably in Hellenistic Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, now where they were living in Jerusalem, and this was their synagogue. The Jewish Talmud tells us that at that time, there were about 480 synagogues in Jerusalem. That may have been an exaggeration, but certainly there would have been a lot of them, and this was one of them. I'm not going to look at these different places. I only mention it's about Alexandrians here. That would be North Africa. You know, we get in Egypt, we get the city of Alexandria. The Greeks had taken it over in the Grecian Empire and so on. This was long before Islam was ever established there. And then we get another place that has some importance in our story here is Cilicia and those from Cilicia. Now, Cilicia was a province in Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. And there was a city there, the capital city of Tarsus. Tarsus was the city that the Apostle Paul was born in and came from. And this is interesting because at the end of chapter 7, when Stephen was martyred, we find there a young man in verse 58 whose name was Saul. And he was a witness to the stoning of Stephen. So he was part of this council or this group that was at Stephen's trial and was consenting to his death. And so he was from Tarsus. Tarsus was the capital city of Cilicia. So that we have this in our verse here, verse 9 mentioned. So that would have been Saul's synagogue in Jerusalem. And then we see in verse 10 that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, capital S, by which he spoke. So Stephen spoke with wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were not able to resist this. He would be declaring that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, and that the need to repent and be baptized, the need to receive him as their Lord and Savior. And they would argue against this, push against this, but they were not able to resist the Spirit by which he spoke. You know, the Lord Jesus said that this would happen. You know, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 20, for example, we read, we'll start in verse 19, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you will speak or should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father which is in you." So the Lord said, you know, the Holy Spirit would empower them and give them the words to speak when they were brought before their leaders and brought before the councils. And then we get a very similar verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 15, where the Lord Jesus says, when you're brought before these councils, before the leaders, verse 14 actually says, "Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand what you will answer." So these were not three-part sermons, you know, that were written up, but they came as the Holy Spirit gave them. In verse 15, "For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist." Well, this is exactly what we have here in verse 10 of Acts chapter 6. They couldn't resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which Stephen spoke. Okay. And then we see in verse 11 to 14 that they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and so on. And they brought false charges against Stephen, charges that he had spoken blasphemous words against Moses and against God. It was totally a lie. In verse 13, they also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." Now, there probably an element of truth in these things. He was probably speaking about the temple and predicting perhaps that at some point, if they didn't repent, that the city would be judged by God. And this is in keeping with what the Lord Jesus had taught. Also, that the customs of the law and so on, he would have taught that salvation was through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not through the obedience of the law. So, excuse me, there was probably an element of truth in the charge, but a certain twist or a slant put on it, whereby they made it look like he was actually blaspheming against God and speaking against the law and against Moses and so on. This was the charge that was, again, very similar to the charges brought up against the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was charged with this, undermining Moses and speaking about destroying the temple and building it again. Of course, they were misconstruing Christ's words from John 2, where he said, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise up in 3 days." We were speaking of his body and so on. So they would take from the words of the Lord Jesus and twist them and bring false accusations. This is exactly what they did to Stephen. And it's remarkable too, we'll see with Stephen, is that he takes on the characteristics of Christ here in this chapter, especially when we get to his martyrdom. And here he's much like the master. They hated the master. They rejected the master. And now that they were doing the same with the servant of God, Stephen. And then we find in verse 15, "And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him and saw his face as the face of an angel." I find that interesting because, you know, the charge is he was speaking against Moses and speaking against the law. And we remember Moses, his face shone like an angel, had the glory of God, so much so that he had to cover his face with a veil because the people couldn't look on it. And so perhaps we get a little recapitulation of history here, that the face of Stephen was just glowing with the glory of God upon him. This should have spoken to their conscience, right? So he was like Moses. But, you know, Peter, the Apostle Peter, says in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. You know, when we're speaking of the things of the Lord Jesus, when we're testifying to him publicly, and if we're persecuted for that, the glory of God will rest upon us, the Spirit of God. And when I say persecution, I mean actual persecution, not being persecuted for disobeying the law or being rabble-rousers or civil disobedience. Some Christians do that and they get arrested and they think, well, it's persecution. No, it's not. But Stephen was persecuted for testifying about the Word of God and about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus, that he was the Son of God and the King of Israel. So this brings us to chapter 7. Now, I'm not going to look at every verse here in chapter and all the details. I don't want these videos to go too long. We're going to try to keep them relatively short. So as we come to the conclusion of chapter 6, just in a, sort of a summary of chapter 6, we can say in verse 8, we see Stephen's character. And verses 9 to 14, we see Stephen's courage. And then verse 15, as we've mentioned, we see Stephen's countenance, his character, his courage, and his countenance. Now we come into chapter 7. And basically, there are three personalities that Stephen brings before us in his sermon, in his message. They call it a sermon. He was preaching, was a message. It's basically a history of Israel, but it's a focused history. There's method to his madness here, so to speak. And his method and his madness actually came from the Holy Spirit. So he looks at three people. He looks at Abraham, sort of to set the groundwork at the beginning of the history of Israel. And then he looks at Joseph. And he looks at Moses. So he looks at these three individuals. Now, there's other points involved in this message. A little further on, he touches on David and the temple. But these are the three main characters. This is important as we go through this. He does this for a reason. So he's standing before the council, before the Sanhedrin. In verse 1 of chapter 7, the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And so Stephen begins his message in verse 2. And he says, and he begins it respectfully, right? Honor to whom honor is due. He said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." Notice this is the glory of God appeared to him. Actually, there's three men here in this chapter. And we see that the glory of God appears in this chapter to three men. To Stephen here, the glory of God appears to him. And then in verse 30, we see with Moses, it says the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire, that in the bush, you know, in Exodus chapter 3, Moses got a glimpse of the glory of God. And we know later on the mountain, he saw the glory of God. And then in verse 55, we see Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so we see Abraham saw the glory of God. I might have said Stephen by mistake, but verse 2 is Abraham saw the glory of God. He was called when the glory of God appeared to him in Mesopotamia, originally called from Ur of Chaldea, but now secondarily from Mesopotamia there. And we read about this in Genesis, the glory of God appeared to him. I think F.B. Hole says, the glory of God took the shine off Shinar. You know, when he was down in Chaldea, Shinar. The glory of God took the shine off Shinar. I like that. So the glory of God appeared to Abraham. And here, just to sum up the story of Abraham, I believe that Stephen brings Abraham out here because, of course, he begins the history of Israel in a sense. He's the father, you know, the Jews and the Israelites descend from Abraham. But the other point, too, is that when Abraham was called Abraham, he was not Jewish. He was not even an Israelite, okay? He was Gentile. And I think that's a significant point. He didn't originate in Jerusalem. He didn't originate in Judea. He didn't originate in Israel. He originated in Chaldea and in Mesopotamia. You know, he was a Syrian in the howling wilderness, the Old Testament tells us. And he called, God called him out, called him from the place of idolatry. This is an important point that, and that also is important too, because when we look at Stephen here, the story of Stephen here is transitional in the book of Acts. When we come to chapter 8 at the end of his martyrdom, we see in verse 1 and 2 that Saul was consenting to his death, and then a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So there was upon the death of Stephen, there was a persecution and a scattering. And so that pushed the Christians out. And eventually, the gospel would begin to move in among the Gentiles. God was preparing his people for this. And there should have been a testimony to his hearers that God was doing a new thing in the earth. And the testimony was going to go out to the Gentiles. And they almost idolized the things of Judaism. They idolized the temple and the city and so on. But the Lord Jesus had taught that neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father, but you will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And Stephen's right along this line here. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was yet in Mesopotamia, not in Jerusalem, right? Not in the temple. That didn't even exist at that point. The second character that Stephen brings out, of course, is Joseph, right? We're not going to go into the details of that. We all know the story. But look at verse 9. And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. This is important. And what Stephen is I believe, speaking about here and appealing to their conscience, you know, the 12 patriarchs, their fathers rejected Joseph. They rejected Joseph. We get in verse 9, and the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And we know the story of Joseph down into Egypt and so on. This brings the history about where they were taken out of the land of Canaan and brought down into Egypt. But that was because of the disobedience of their fathers and that they had rejected the one who God had anointed. They rejected the one who Jacob said, this is my, you know, beloved son. He's the chosen one. And he was the beloved, you know, he was given the robe of many colors. And he was rejected by the fathers. And so what Stephen is trying to do here is point out to them, you are doing what your fathers did. And your fathers were not always holy and godly. In fact, your fathers often resisted God's purposes. They resisted the testimony of the Holy Spirit. They resisted those raised up by God to speak the word of God. And here we see that with Joseph, they sold him in Egypt. What a remarkable picture of the Lord Jesus, who was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. So they're doing what their fathers did. And this is a theme through Stephen's message here, because the next one he brings out is Moses. He speaks of Moses in verse 23, that he was 40 years old when he came to visit his brethren in Egypt to deliver them, right? God had raised up a deliverer. He's going to raise up a deliverer, and the deliverer would be Moses. But notice it says at the end of verse 25, but they did not understand. And so again, Stephen is pricking their conscience. They did not understand. I've been preaching to you. Others have been preaching to you about Jesus of Nazareth. You're not understanding what we're saying. Now you're being just like your fathers. When God raised up Moses, they did not understand. And then in verse 27, but he who did this, his neighbor wrong, was pushed away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? You see, the children of Israel in Egypt, they rejected Moses. They said, who made you a ruler and judge over us? This is exactly what the leaders of Jerusalem did with the Lord Jesus. We will not have this man to reign over us. Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Again, he's showing them from their history that what they are doing right now is exactly what they had always done, right? They sold Joseph into slavery, God's chosen one, who ultimately would become their savior, their deliverer, the one who would protect them in Egypt. They eventually would come to that realization, the fathers. But in the beginning, it was their rejection of him that made him become their savior. And then Moses, the one God raised up, the deliverer, they said, who made you a judge and a deliverer over us? Now notice, look at verse 35. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler or judge? Again, it's emphasized here that they rejected Moses as a deliverer. So you see where Stephen is going with this. Abraham was a Gentile. He had nothing to do with Jerusalem. He had nothing to do with the temple. It didn't even exist. And then God raised up leaders to speak to our fathers. He raised up Joseph. He raised up Moses. But Joseph was sold into Egypt. Moses they rejected. And who made you a ruler and a judge over us? So he's speaking to their conscience. We get this in verse 39. Whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected. They rejected him. And guys, that's what you're doing. You're rejecting Jesus of Nazareth. God has raised him up to be Lord and Savior. You rejected him. You sold him into the hands of the Gentiles. But God has raised them up. So now you have to submit to him. You have to believe on him and receive him as your Lord and Savior. This is what Stephen is doing in his message and going through this history. Again, I'm not going to go through all the details of this, but it's just interesting to see these themes and these patterns in his message. And as I said earlier, you know, the glory of God appeared to these Old Testament men. You know, to Abraham at the beginning of his life, the glory of God appeared to him. And Moses, the glory of God appeared to him in the middle of his life when he was, you know, 40 years old. And then, or the end of that 40-year period, probably 80 years old. He lived 120 years. And then Stephen, the glory of God, as we'll see in the next video, appears to him at the end of his life. And so Stephen here is sort of turning the tables on them, right? What they charged him for, you know, rejecting Moses, rejecting the law, rejecting the temple and speaking against the temple. Stephen saying, no, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're resisting what God is doing. You're rejecting the one God has raised up over us. You're doing exactly what your fathers did, okay? And your fathers were sinners, and they weren't as godly as you appear to believe them to be, you know, that they failed. But God was merciful to them in raising up deliverers for them, just as he is for you. And you need to realize that, who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So to sort of sum up, Stephen's message here, he presents that the apex or pinnacle of God's progressive plan is not the temple, but Christ and his kingdom. That's one point. Secondly, God blessed Israel throughout its history. That's true. That's in his sermon here. Regardless of whether they had a temple. And most of the time period here, they were not even in the land, you know. Abraham came from a foreign country. Joseph was in Egypt. You know, Moses was in Egypt, and then Moses was in the wilderness. It was not even in Israel. It was in a faraway countries of their captivity, right? And then Israel had a long history of attempting to frustrate God's plan. It has always consisted of two groups, the righteous and the ungodly, the righteous and the rebellious. And so that stream was seen in the days of Joseph. That stream was seen in the days of Moses and all throughout their history. And that stream of the two groups were still existent in the day that Stephen was speaking. There's some had received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but the others had rejected him and were resisting the testimony of the Holy Spirit. These are still important points for us today, to believe the Word of God, to accept what he has given to us, to see our need of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to submit to him. May the Lord encourage you today as you would meditate on this. In the next video, we'll take up the conclusion of Acts 7, we'll look at Stephen's martyrdom.